and gentlemen, good morning to all, and welcome to another exciting episode of Late for the Party, the show, season 3, episode 12, one more away from the end, getting ready for season 4. There is so much ground to cover, you guys, so sorry if my structure has been a little messed up right at the moment because of just getting out the podcast as much as possible, but so much stuff has been going on, but I will explain that in season 4 in episode 1 when I do get a chance. But before all that, please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support the podcast. We're on Anchor FM. You can also listen to us on pretty much every platform for your podcasting listening pleasure. Spotify, Google, Apple, all that cheerful stuff. CastBox, even the lowest of the low. Also, you can check me out on YouTube. I'm about to get ready to put some stuff up on there as well. You can check me out on TikTok with my funny laughs and stuff like that. This is Late for the Party, you guys, where we're about podcasting, entertainment, about pop culture, entertainment, and LOLs. For real. So, we're going to get into a little... I don't want to get into a quickfire review too much about the new episode of I Saw of She-Hulk, because I do kind of want to give it a grade, but I want to grade it in its entirety, but I want to just start... I'm going to start doing... Like, if I'm going to watch an episode of a series, I'm going to grade that particular episode, and then I'm going to combine all the episodes once the series is over. But, and there's so many series I got to really start catching up on, but, because I'm watching Tekken, I got to do a quick fire review on Prey. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot of ground to cover, you guys, so bear with me, and we're gonna get right into it. So, watch the first episode of She-Hulk, and I must say, it's actually pretty cool, but there are some things about the episode that I'm a little concerned about when it comes down to how she, like, I mean, unless this is like a development factor to where, and I'll explain it, is just that, there's some things about it that I, hopefully that they try to cover this kind of ground with her, like, experiencing, getting her first experiences as She-Hulk, considering the fact that, like, you know, she's moving a little bit too fast because maybe it's because of the trauma that it's different from how the trauma that Bruce went through. But one of the main things that I had, like, the issue with is the fact that how she's sitting there trying to, make the notion of her being catcalled and whatnot was more traumatic than what Bruce has been experiencing in the whole entire MCU for him to even get to the point that he's at right now in his life. You know what I'm saying? There's no comparison to what Jennifer went through, I mean, compared to what Bruce has gone through. You know what I'm saying? Bruce has went through so much shit to where, you know, he turns into the Hulk. He's getting hunted down by the military. Not only by the military, but your girlfriend's father at that. You know, you get pretty much persuaded. You're fighting your colleagues. You're fighting your own colleagues. I mean, you're pretty much getting, you got brainwashed by a witch. He got brainwashed by Scarlet Witch. He got literally beat down by his friend, who literally was in a suit that both of them helped create in order to kill him if he ever went rogue. I mean, and let's even call it what it is. Freaking Jennifer Walter of She-Hulk ain't never been as much traumatic shit as Bruce in the MCU. Now, if they were going off of the stuff that she went through in the comic books, then that might be a different story. But for her to sit there talking about that he's been through so much traumatic, she's been through more traumatic shit than he has, I beg to differ. Let's call it what it is. Freaking even in the first Avengers movie, freaking Bruce even said it himself, talking about when he was like, when he literally tried to off himself. Where he was like, look, you're trying to kill me. I know, I tried. He was like, I got low, I didn't see an end, and so I tried to put a bullet in my mouth, and the other guy spit it out. He was literally at that point to where he was at his wit's end. He couldn't take it. So for her to sit there and say something as arrogant as, oh, like, I'm more capable and all of that stuff, and nothing of, like, you've been through is more than what I've been through. Like, you got catcalled. You know, unless if they were physically assaulting her, but they never, like, went over on that. But saying that you got catcalled compared to the intergalactic shit that he had to go through, getting beat down by Thanos, fighting hell like monsters and demons and giant dogs and you know, he literally saved the world. That's another thing a lot of mugs don't like really give Bruce's credit for. Like, he literally brought everybody back from the blip. He could have died himself. But since he was the Hulk, he didn't die. You know, he got fucked up. It took a while for his arm to actually get back together, get back to normal. But to sit there and say that Jennifer has been through more shit than Hulk has, it's like, nah, bruh. I know this is your show and all, but you can't compare apples to oranges in this aspect. Like, there's no way in hell, like, you know, Hulk has been through some shit. So for you to actually say that you, like, she was more been through traumatic stuff just because she got catcalled. Being catcalled is not as bad as getting hunted down by the fucking army, fighting aliens, or getting your ass whooped by Thanos, okay, watching all your friends get blipped out of existence, watching the love of your life die. You know what I'm saying? Like, also, trapped in your own, Bruce's conscience is trapped inside the Hulk for 2 years in Thor Ragnarok. I mean, come on. I mean, what else? Like, nah, you can't sit there and say, like, She-Hulk's been through more shit. Like, no, bruh, you just got your shit. Not even just getting your shit. I mean, like you sitting there saying you got catcalled and all of that stuff. Like, okay, I'll give you that for being a girl, but shit. Wanda went through more shit. Fucking Natasha went through more shit. Natasha's sister been through more shit. More traumatic shit. If you want to get down to brass tacks, shoot, Wanda's probably the most fractured person on the planet right now. So it's like, nah, bro, you ain't gonna sit here pissing on my head telling me it's rain. Hell no. Your fucking cousin sitting there trying to help you learn your abilities, and just because you ain't went through no traumatic shit, you might have, like, you know, skipped a few chapters. But that doesn't, but I liked how he was like, that doesn't mean that you know how to really control your abilities. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, that's probably one of my major gripes. I like that they're giving her the fourth wall treatment, and I'm loving how they're bringing back the She-Hulk, like the sensational She-Hulk, you know what I'm saying? A blend of, like, the sensational She-Hulk and the Attorney at Law She-Hulk. So, you know, because honestly, she started breaking the fourth wall before Deadpool did. Like, she started doing the whole break the fourth wall treatment back in the comic books. And I see that they're, like, really, like, going with that whole idea with her, which is cool. That was probably one of, like, how I got introduced to She-Hulk. And also, like, when she was a part of the Fantastic Four as well, so. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, I want to see how this is gonna go. Like I said, I enjoyed the first episode. The first episode was cool. That was the only gripe that I had, was just the fact that, like, she's trying to downplay Bruce's, his stuff that he went through, trying to make her stuff more serious than what he's been through. Trying to undermine the fact that, like, dude, like, just because you getting catcalled and everything doesn't compare to the bullshit that he's been through for 10 fucking years being the Hulk. Or 11 to 12 fucking years. I mean, he's, like I said, he's been through a lot. He lost his... Oh, shit. Excuse me. He lost his best friend. He lost his friend. He lost Tony. Also, he lost... I mean, you know, Steve wound up getting back old, and, like, something, gotta do something about that with Steve Rogers, because eventually he's, I mean, it's not like he's dead, so where the fuck is he? You know, he's just old. So, there's a lot to that. But either way, I like that little joke that they were doing with, about being, talking about Steve being a virgin, like, everybody singing that he's a virgin and stuff, like, no, he's had sex, like, no, like, you're fucking Captain America, there's no way in hell that you're not smashing, let's just call it what it is, like, you're fucking Captain America, bruh, you're, like, there's no way in hell you're not smashing. Okay, that shit is funny as hell, but either way, you guys, oh man, I'm gonna stop this segment real quick, so either way, this is gonna be a short little episode, so either way, other than that, you seen Titana, well, before I end it off, you seen Titana, you seen her getting into her lawyer bit and everything, which is cool as hell. So, I'm excited to see how they go with the rest of this. Also looking forward to seeing, you know, Matt Murdock, aka Daredevil, reprise his role as Daredevil. I mean, Charlie Cox reprises his role as Daredevil. I want to see how they, like, do the new suit. and everything. So yeah, guys, I'm pretty stoked about this. So let's get into it. So this is gonna be the next segment. Well, this is gonna be segment one. I might just do a quick fire review for all the shows and movies. So I'm just gonna pretty much do everything in segments right now. So either way, this will be segment one for She-Hulk quick fire review. So far I'm gonna give the quick fire review my rating. I'm gonna give it a solid 9. Because, like I said, it's good. I'll give it a solid 9 because, honestly, they were hitting some things that was pretty cool. I like the little training montage between her and Bruce. I like the little fight that they had, too. And, you know, like, they were giving Bruce some love and everything. And, you know, they kind of need to some degree. I mean, it's a shame that we're not going to see anything with Hulk on his own, which would actually be kind of cool if they did, but since he's still under the umbrella of Universal, he's still technically on loan. That's why they're just doing what they're doing with him in general. So either way, I will get back to you guys on the next segment. I will be talking about Prey in the next segment, so hold tight, stay gold. And we'll see what's going on in a bit. So, I will see you guys very, very soon. All right. Welcome back to the next segment of Late for the Party. The show, episode 12, part 2. Of the quick fire review. Yeah, season 3, you guys, man. Alright. We're gonna get into it like this, but here we go. Please like, comment, share, subscribe to the podcast, support the podcast as well. You know, show your love. Get on all forms of social media, on my social media, on my link tree. Linktree/LateForTheParty, where you can see everything from my Teespring, TikTok, Twitch, YouTube, Instagram. I'm everywhere. So we're gonna get into Prey, you guys. We are going to get into Prey. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Let's do it like this. Here we go. Well, I like, you know what? Prey has probably got to be one of the best prequels I've seen thus far, next to like Rogue One. Like they actually did a prequel done right, to where they can expand on the lore from how they want to do it now. And going off of, like, you know, 300 years before the events of, like, the original Predator with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you see the evolution of, like, even for the Predator themselves. So pretty much the story starts off with a girl named Nara, who is a Comanche, a female Comanche warrior. And she's a dope tracker as well. She has a dope dog. And it's so weird because it's like every time I felt like the dog was in danger, I was like really like, oh my God, I hope nothing happens to the dog, you know? So she's trying to prove herself, basically trying to earn her stripes to become a tracker and a warrior for her tribe, the Comanche tribe. So her brother, Teba, is like one of the warriors of the tribe, and they're trying to hunt down a a lion, a mountain lion, that's out in the wild. In the process of this, while they're hunting the lion, the predator. Predator is literally getting there to do his thing. He's taking out, well, I don't want to really spoil too much, but he's taking out all kinds of top predator life. I mean, around this time, I mean, what would be the most top predators around? Obviously a cobra, like he's taking out a rattlesnake. He wound up taking out a wolf that was hunting a rabbit. Shit, he even took down a motherfucking bear. That was actually kind of cool. My whole thing, though, and I don't know why, but I think this has always been, like, one of those problematic type deals with, like, predators. As big and as tough as they are, I'm just trying to understand why the predators are always, like, when they're fighting, like, hand-to-hand or, like, getting ready to fight somebody, like, they're always either cloaked, like, they're always invisible to some degree. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing the bear fight, him in the bear fight, where I wouldn't mind seeing the bear fight with the predator. Like, you know, you could see the bites and the attacks. The bear was actually jacking his ass up. But, you know, I guess you wouldn't mind seeing somewhat of the visual. But when the like, you could literally see it mostly in the trailers, too, to where, like, when the bear gets jacked up and you see him, like, lift up the bear. You see him, like, physically lift up the bear, and the bear is, like, you know, the blood's the blood is literally falling on the predator. You're gonna hear me say, you guys are literally gonna hear me say the predator a few times now, so, well, more than a few, let's just call it what it is. Yeah, but She's trying to earn her stripes. Basically, she's trying to get her rite of passage into being a warrior and whatnot. And, you know, you start to see certain things. I'm not trying to spoil too much, because honestly, this is one of the best, probably one of the best movies I've seen this year. One of the best movies I've seen this year. Yeah. Like, and it's weird. And it's so weird that Predator didn't make it into the movie theater. Like, this is the Predator. This, the Prey didn't get into the movie theater. This movie was worth seeing in the movies, honestly. Bump the Predator, that last one that came out in 2018, that shit was dog water. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even for the CGI and everything, the Predator looked clean. Even for, like, being an older, I mean, he had more like a reddish tint. And I mean, they're starting to try to make the Predator a little bit more monstrous. Like, his head was kind of big. And like he looked more unreal. Like, he didn't look like too human, where, like, of course CGI was in play to some degree. Some degree, not all. Like, especially, I think, I don't know if they did CGI, well, they had to do CGI on most of his face, but ultimately, I feel like the movie was great, man. It's like, it was that cool. like, the brother was cool. I mean, he was being a dick. He's being a dick to her at first, but, you know, he understood it, what she was trying to do, and he wasn't really knocking her for it. So, that was cool. It had a lot of drama and a lot of elements, and I like there's a lot of things that tie in to, like, a couple of things, like, in the first two Predator films. You'll see what I'm talking about when you watch Predator 2. Where there's like French trappers going around stealing like fur and everything from all, like, from buffaloes and all kind of other animals. But, you know, the thing is, with that, it's like, you'll see the tie-in, because, you know, there's guns, and if anybody watched Predator 2 with Danny Glover, at the end of that, the head predator gives Danny Glover a gun that was back in the time, the era where Prey starts up. So, but that's cool, you guys. I mean, look, I'm not mad at it. Like, this was a dope film. Like I said, I'm not trying to get into too much spoiler territory, because this is a movie worth seeing. It is definitely a movie worth seeing. It's on Hulu. You can check it out. It's awesome as hell. You know, the action scenes are dope. You know, you see an earlier version of the Predator to where, like, you know, like, what would they do around in this time? And the lead up to everything else in the film, I can't wait to see what else they got to do, well, they could do with it. Like, I like seeing the Predators come up in a different timeline, you know? Maybe it would lead up to seeing a Predator film in the feudal area of the feudal era of, you know, like in feudal Japan, where he's going up against the samurai or anything in that caliber. That would be awesome as hell, dude. I am excited to see this film more and more. I've watched it a few times already, you know. Like I said, it's not every day that I've actually sat down and watched a movie and, like, really got into it. Like, this is one of those films that I say that really has surprised me. One, it was unexpected. Two, when I found out about them even wanting to get started doing another Predator film and going at a different approach. And thank you guys for calling it something totally different. It's weird, because honestly, I felt like for them to call, like, you can't call it Predator, 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 the Predator, and all, and Predators and all of that stuff. You gotta change it up. Honestly, Predator was supposed to be called, what, Hunter back in the day. So, it is awesome, dude. Like, honestly, I'm definitely gonna give Predator a good 9.5. It was very, very good. Why do I keep calling it Predator? I'm calling it Prey. Call it Prey. You know, the action was great. The fight scenes were off the hook. Everything from the drama, the lead up, watch it all the way till, like, the little drawing credits happen at the end, because it leads into, like, hopefully another one. And they did well on this. They did very well, you guys. So, I mean, for real. A solid 9.5. Damn near. And also, if you want to get really, like, into it, like, if you want to watch the film in Comanche, like, while they're speaking in Comanche, hey, do it. It even makes the movie even more intriguing watching the film in its native in the actual language. So, yeah, you guys, man, I know this one is normally the short. This one's a short one, but honestly, it's cool. I just wanted to try to make sure I finally get back to like ending stuff off. I mean, you know, I got one more episode to do for this season, and it should be coming up very, very soon. Hopefully, in a couple of days. So, either way, and that one should be about the latest movie I've seen, Dragon Ball Super Superhero. And we'll end it off on that, and we'll be getting ready for season 4 of episode 1. But either way, you guys, please like, comment, share, subscribe, and support to the podcast. Check me out on all 9 platforms of your podcast listening pleasure. Also, check me out on Twitch. Check me out on YouTube. Also, check me out on teespring.com and get your Late for the Party t-shirts, you guys. There's only 3 of them. I'm still going through the design processes for the other ones. And believe me, when I say this, they're support your boy. You know what I'm saying? And check me out on TikTok. Tell a friend, tell a foe, let everyone know Late for the Party is the way to go. You know. Either way, you guys, I am your host, Melodious, a.k.a. Cover Boy, the Modern Marvel, also known as the Mad King, Harry La Brea, signing off. And as always, if you're going to be late for the party, nope. As always, when you're late for the party, you're always on time.